Lady Shir and Derech Hashem, fifth Shir and Derech Hashem, Sunday, Yom Aleph Parshat Nitzavim Vayelech, Yutes Elul, 10th of September, fifth Shir.
And we'll start with the Rupture Paragraph Bays, Section 1, Parag Bays, Chapter 2, Paragraph. And until now, in this parrot, is that the Bria spoke about not necessarily reason, purpose, but what is the reality of the Bria is supposed to accomplish. The Bria means everything. Gracious Baruch Kim, Eisa Shemayim Yes Haaretz, is that Hashem's this be bestowed on other besides Him just existing and being. It's very hard to understand. You can't say Hashem was compelled to do it. The Lashon of the Ramchal and Tashlunos, and he implies here, is that Derech HaOlehetiv, the station of Tov, is really a conundrum, because Tov is whatever Hashem is, not what we think Tov is. Hashem, most of the time, gave the person the ability to discern or to feel, or to understand what Tov is. Unfortunately, the world has quickly descended to not knowing what Tov is, as they move further away from Hashem. But part of being Tov is to be made, Hashem being the perfect being that He is, so He, the Hatava, the bestowing good on the objects of His bestowing good on, it would have to be the most tov possible, the most hence, no halfway measures, because since Hashem is shalem, Hashem is whole and complete, so everything is the ultimate, so it's the ultimate pleasure. Again, I speak out that pleasure and good is two sides of a coin. In the Mesil Sesharim, he talks about pleasure. In Derech Hashem, he talks about Tov, good, but it's all the same. It's only in human beings and in the physical world something can be good, but not pleasurable. But in Hashem, it's all the same. It all comes together. What's good is what's pleasurable. We don't even understand the type of pleasure because it's a ruchniistic pleasure. And when we say the word pleasure, we only understand physical pleasure, except maybe sometimes we could relate to something roughly as we don't even understand it, but maybe we're at a kumzitz, and like a niggun is going really well, and you feel uplifted, and it gives you actually a spiritual pleasure. And it's not a physical pleasure, obviously. You don't know what it is, so you can't really define it. Akoponim Hashem wants to give us the ultimate in good. The ultimate in good will be if we bond with Him. If we somehow bond dveikus. There's a word for it, it's a word in the Torah too, because to whatever degree we can, we have to do it in this world as well. And the Ramchal will soon explain that this bonding will only take place in the next world. He'll explain the process to which it happens, but it's the ultimate pleasure, the ultimate toll, the ultimate good, and it's bonding with Hashem, connecting to Him in a way that we become part of Him. And these are just words, really, but those are the words that Ramchal uses. So that's the ultimate good. But in order to be the ultimate good, and we'll start learning now paragraph Bays, it can't be a freebie. It is also a very major, very famous yesod of the Ramchal, very famous principle, that a freebie wouldn't be earned and wouldn't be good. But here he says in a very sophisticated way. Normally, if people heard of this, they hear that it's like embarrassing to be on the receiving end of a freebie. So it's not really that good. It's, someone gives you something for free, so you didn't earn it, it's not that good. Although maybe intuitively we would think, the more immature someone is, the more they think that's a better good, but as you get older, you realize that's not as good a good. But here he says something much more sophisticated, that in order to let me start off with, there's a mitzvah to emulate Hashem. One of the mitzvahs, the Rambam, when he counts out the mitzvahs and the Sefer Hayorah Chazaka, the Rambam's master work, he puts this in Yesodei HaTorah. It's like a fundamental principle, a major, major concept, major idea, a fundamental principle to be similar to Hashem. So we know it as Mahu Rachum, Afato Rachum, takes pity, if he has rachamim, we also have rachamim. If he does chesed, we also do chesed. If he is just, we also have to be just. And, you know, it might sound like, just a copycat. You know, we're supposed to be like Hashem. You know, we have to copy it, but it's really much deeper. And that's what the Ramchal explains. When you have to be like Hashem, it's you. Again, it's strange words to us, perhaps. But that part of the Ramchal that's more esoteric. We have to be as godlike as possible. We have Rachmanus because we want to be like God. We want to emulate God. It's not we're copying Him, but we're being like Him. And really, as Ramchal will develop, in this world we want to be as spiritual as possible. Because ultimately, the more we're spiritual, the more we will bond with Hashem after we get rid of the guf. Or according to Ramchal, the guf will also become a spiritual entity, but we'll get to that and we'll learn about that. Right now, we just will say that you want to be like Hashem because that will be the degree to which we bond in Him for all of eternity. So the Ramchal says something very deep. He says this idea that Hashem wanted us to earn the good, He could have just made the world with Olam Haba and everything would be a freebie. And, you know, He wants to bestow good. You say, well, He wants to bestow good. He could have created a being and just bestow good on that being. What is the problem? What's the big deal? Why did we need the last 5,700 years of history? And the answer is because it's not that good unless you earn it. But instead of just understanding on a superficial level that, oh, it's more geschmack. You eat the fish that you caught, it's more geschmack than if someone gives you a present. But he says, on a deeper level, then you're more like Hashem. Because Hashem is inherently good. He's not good because of an outside force. Hashem is Hashem, as he explained in the first paragraph. So, as much as I can emulate Hashem, is as much as I'll bond with Him, and that's as much as I'll have tov and pleasure for all of eternity, which is a very long time. I'm more like Hashem if I made myself good. It wasn't like handed to me by someone else. To the degree possible. Of course, it's never ultimately like Hashem, because everything I do is empowered by Hashem. Everything I do, Hashem allows me to do. Hashem gave my arms the ability to do chesed. Hashem gave my brains the ability to decide to do chesed. Hashem gave my feet the ability to walk to do chesed. So everything, lemaisa, boils down to a gift from Hashem. But I'm saying as much as possible, you want to be godlike. And to be godlike, you have to make yourself good. Not an outside force is giving you good. You are good, and only you could make yourself what you are. Now, this is very esoteric, but on a practical level, as I like to do it in the first two prokim, just to make it down to earth, we're creating our own Olam Haba. Everything we do is creating our own eternity. It's much more sophisticated. Tzar ba'onesh is much more sophisticated than if you're good, you'll get an ice cream, and if you're bad, you'll get a patch. Much more sophisticated than that. the degree to which we emulate Hashem, and that's why the Rambam makes that into such a major principle mitzvah, because all the mitzvahs are in a way emulating Hashem. If we just don't see the connection, when we take challah, when we have a mezuzah, when we put on tefillin, when we hear the shofar, these are all sparks of Hashem's spirituality that He wants us to partake, to do, and to eternalize, and we become more spiritual as we do these things. And when we become more spiritual, we are able to be more like Hashem, and we will bond more with Him, with us at level. So the sky we have, we are creating. We're creating who we are. If like someone says to you, like, you are going to decide, it's up to you, the kind of person you want to be. So that's, though you could say that also, but that's very limited, and it's his understanding of what's good, and the whole thing's going to last 70, 80, 90, 100, 120 years. But we are determining who we are for all of eternity. And what we want to do is be as spiritual as possible. The goof, the body, tugs us in the other direction, because that is how we earn our schar, our spirituality. It's earned because of the struggle between the guf and the neshama. So we earn it by ubacharta b'chayim, by choosing to allow ourselves to follow the dictates of the neshama as opposed to the guf. Ultimately, according to the Ramchal, the neshama will purify the guf, and the guf will join in bonding with Hashem, because it too will become a spiritual entity, because the neshama has that koach to charge up the guf to become spiritual. But that's later on in the Sefer, when he explains the system more fully. Here, again, he's going step by step, very methodically. Hashem is told, and what He wants in the Bria is to be mativ. The ultimate mativ is to bond up with Hashem. That's what's told, that's what's pleasurable, to be part of Hashem. We will be part of Hashem the more godlike we are. One of the fundamental ways to be godlike is for us to choose, for us to struggle, for us to create the goodness in ourselves, not to have it handed to us. That would make it, again, Hashem is going to do the ultimate good. So the ultimate good, so now we may say, you know, Hashem, do me a favor. What do I need this whole life for? Give me, I'll have a little less food and give me a freebie. It's okay, it's fine, I'll be happy. So that's what we say here, but we won't be happy when we get to Olam Haba. Because when you get to Olam Haba, you'll find out that you're in third grade and you could have been in eighth grade. Right here, since we don't grasp the pleasure, since we don't grasp what it means, so we say, you know, we're talking about eternity, and I'll be the stopping the Lord. You know, I don't want to be a chaza. I'll take a little less good. What do I need the whole struggle for? But then we'll be so aggravated, we get the whole haba, if that would happen. It won't happen, because Hashem won't do that to us. And we'll be ecstatically, you know, like a kid, you know, who say, I'll take the fire truck. I'll take the fire truck. I don't want 500,000 account trust put in my name for when I'm 21. I want a fire truck. So that's what's going on here. Hashem wants us to have the ultimate good. He wants us to have the trust account, and we shouldn't be happy. Every degree of difference is eternity. Is a different world. So it's like taking a fire truck instead of the trust account. So while we may think, and when you're learning Ramchal and you're reading the word and you're listening to the Shia, you're saying, don't do me no favors, I'll be mistopic more, it's not like that. Because the difference is enormous. Every level is an enormous difference. It's like a kid growing up. You know, every month you see amazing changes. You don't say, I'll be mistaken for more. I won't struggle to walk. I'll prove my whole life it's fine. I'll still get around. So that's a tragedy. So it will feel just as tragic if we get to Olam Haba and Hashem would have given in to our request, but he won't, because he wants to do the ultimate good, and the ultimate good is in our groping, our searching, our making who we are, whom we are. And because then we'll be as godlike as possible, because it won't be external, it'll be internal. It won't be mavish internal, because Hashem is allowing us to do everything. And Hashem Echad, you can't actually compare to Hashem, and even on a practical level, we understand why it's not ultimate, because everything we do is Hashem empowering us to do it. But it's as much as we can, given the circumstances of reality. So that's what he says in paragraph Bays. Lulam gozer chachmosa shalias atov sholem, roi sheyia hanene bo ba'al atov ahu, the master of the good. You own it. That's what you say even in the vernacular. I own this mitzvah. I own what I am. I made it. I'm a made man. I'm a self-made man or woman. Pirish mishiyikna hatol v'atzmo. I created what I am, who I am. It's not external to me. V'lo misha yislavelo hatol v'derech mikra. It's not happenstance, meaning it's not external, not superficial. If someone gives me a freebie, so it's external to my soul. It's external to who I am. When I work on it, and I create it, in effect. I create the goodness in me by this bechira, by this choosing. So I create the goodness. So that's who I am. Because I created it. And that's more godlike than the freebie. The Tirish is a nikrit tzatzis damus, that's somewhat of a similarity, b'shir shavshar, to the degree possible, el shlei musa yuzbarach shmo. Kinehu yuzbarach Hashem, shmo, Hashem yuzbarach shmo, shalem ba'atzmo. He's inherently complete, whole, without flaw, tov, v'lo b'mikre, not by happenstance, it just happens to be that way. That's how we call when someone gives me something. See, he could have not given it to me. So that's called mikra. Ela mitzad amitas in yono, who he is, muchrech po hashlemus. U'mushulola mimenu hachesronos be'achrech. He has no flaws, he's whole, he's complete. U'ulam ze'i yesha shimatzi b'dulosso. That, of course, can't exist in any other being. She'i amitoso machrachos lo hashlemus u'maderes mimenu hachesronos, that his being and who he is inherent, is totally inherent, by definition, who he is. Achle his damos l'zem b'mitzvahs could be as similar to Hashem as I can be. Why? Because the more similar I am, the more I'll bond with him, and the more tov and pleasure I'll have for all of eternity, because I'm more able to, I become more godlike, and I'm able to bond with him more. At least I did it. It's inherent because I created it. I made it. It's me. It's not from the outside. He has to repel from himself the flaws. The physical is flaws. An animal, this is going to be a person. He didn't get up to a person yet, but he's going to soon tell us the big secret that this is a person. The mizug, the connect, the combination of the neshama and the guf, a malach doesn't have this choice, so will not reach the ultimate tov, and a behemoth doesn't have this choice, and will not reach the ultimate tov, and we're very unique and special. And we should realize that we, mankind, as he'll soon say, that Hashem created a being with this, and this is the whole purpose of the Bria. You see, we think of it in a sort of a selfish way, right? That's how we're used to thinking, and if it works, you know, keep at it, but it's good to hear once in a while that there's a bigger picture here. I want to do mitzvahs because I want to get Olam Haba. I don't want to go to Gehenna. I want to go to Olam Haba. So I'm going to do mitzvahs. That's selfish to some degree. But with the way that Rachel is setting it up, this is Hashem's purpose for the creation of the world. That I should go to Olam Haba, that I should bond with him, because he is told and he wants to be native, and I am partners with Hashem in, this is what he wants. He wants the world to, he wants this to be, he wants this to happen, and, you know, okay, I'm just going along with the game plan. Right? So it's like, it's true, you know, you're on a team, you're on a baseball team, a soccer team, a football team, and there's individual goals, but there's a bigger picture, and it's, you know, you could be individually, you could score a lot of goals, but if your team never makes it, it's really, that's not the point. The point isn't for the individuals to star. The point is, the way it's set up is for the team to win. Here, well, the team is Chal Yisrael, but really in the larger sense, it's Hashem's plan for the universe. So, you know, sometimes we learn a Chodesh Halvavos, it gets a little depressing, you know, we learn that you know, you're not supposed to do things in order to get to Olam Haba. Oh, come on. Halavai, we would do things in order to get to Olam Haba. Like, that would be pretty amazing and wonderful. And so I'm saying, according to the Ramchal, it's okay to say I'm doing this to get to Olam Haba. What you should try to do is not think of it selfishly, which is terribly hard and maybe impossible, but at least as a, there's a way of thinking where I'm doing this so that I can get to Olam Haba, because that's what Hashem made the world for. Hashem made the world that people should bond with him in Olam Haba. We'll see later, you know, the exact terms of Olam Haba, there's different ways of, different parts to, there's a lot going on after Misa. This is like nothing. This is like the first stage of life. It's life. A lot going on. Everything goes on afterwards. Like, but this is the battleground. This determines everything that's going to come afterwards. But it doesn't have to be thought of selfishly. You know, even if I say the sentence, I'm doing mitzvah so that I should get the whole my ball, that is, doesn't have to be a selfish sentence. It could be an unselfish sentence. And that was the purpose of the Bria. Hashem wanted the neshamas to come down into a guf, so that I choose to be good, so that I am able to bond with Hashem in the best way possible, so that Hashem could be native, and that's what he created the world for, to be native. So, you know, I would really be bad, but just unless I have a favor, you know, just trying to be helpful, that's all. Okay. Baal Ken Gozar Hashem, the paragraph right before paragraph Gimel. Baal Ken Gozar Vasidir Shigibor Winyone Shlemus Vinyone Chisora. That is really an amazing, I mean, that's what we've been saying. But you know how you could look at it? You could look at it that my flaws and my struggles and my tithes and my shortcomings and my Sahara and my, that's the gift Hashem gave us. Because otherwise we'd be like Malachim. Which is okay, but it's not the ultimate good. So it doesn't have to be depressing to think of our flaws as human beings. You could turn it around and think of it as thank you, Hashem. You know what I mean? Like, thank you, Hashem, I have to work on this midah. Thank you, Hashem, I have to work on being less physical. Thank you, Hashem, I have to not be jealous. Thank you, Hashem, I have to pass the nesayon of making sure something has good kashrus. And I desire it. I have desires. I have tithes. I have wants. I am impetuous. I get angry. All these things. And every neshama has different nesayonos. That we'll see later. The whole thing is like there's billions of neshamas, and Jews have special tasks, but everything, it's a gift. You know, it sounds funny, but it is. It's a gift. Because the gift is that we have to overcome it. Because when we overcome it, we'll be greater than the Malach. We'll be greater, we'll bond with Hashem in a way that no other being in the entire Bria can be. We're like, this could have been an animal, we could have been a rock. We still would have to be thankful that we were created, because everything in the Bria has a role to play in bringing out Kabbalah Hashem, but nobody has Bechira but us. And the Klal Yisrael has so many mitzvahs, because the more mitzvahs we have, the more spiritual we become. A guy can only reach a certain level of spirituality, even if he's a tzaddik, so to speak. Because he only has seven mitzvahs. And seven mitzvahs are much, much more than seven mitzvahs. If you break it down the way our mitzvahs are broken down, but Noah has probably between 100 and 200 mitzvahs. Because him, it's just called one mitzvah, dinin, a judicial system. And if you take out Chinuch or Rambam, and you look at the mitzvahs, and you count up the ones that have to do with the judicial system, you have to judge righteously, and you know how to take a bribe, and you have to, it's like a lot of mitzvahs. So the seven is probably between 100 and 200. Because by us it's broken up into the specificities. When we talk about B'nai Noah, some good, there's Abram and Achai, that's only one. But you say Arayos, my forbidden marriages, that's a lot.
How many did you say?
I don't know. I never sat down and counted. I'm estimating between 100 and 200 because they're basic principles. And by us it's really split up. It's split up. Like a judicial system. And, some of them, Achai is that one mitzvah. Okay. So, Al Kin goes to the Sea, the Shibur, and Yoni Shemin's Yoni Chisaron is a. Should we embrace our Chisrainus? In a certain sense, yeah. I mean, if we're going to overcome them. We embrace them because we understand, and every person has their own nisyonos. And sometimes you look at someone else and you say, why can't I be like that person? That person is so able and I'm so coarse. That's my nature. Yeah, but that person is jealous and you're not jealous. Hashem sends every neshama the things it struggles with, because this world is this struggle between the good and the bad, the ruchni and the gashmi, the neshama and the guf. But the guf doesn't get thrown in the garbage afterwards. That we're going to see. The Ramchal very insistent. The guf is purified by the neshama. Hashem, the guf is not just a burden, an appendage that we discard at Misa. Some Rishonim hold it is, but the Ramchal and most Rishonim, I would venture to say. Most of the Chal's not a Rishon, Chal's very late in history, relatively speaking, right? 1600, 1700. But the most Rishonim in the Gemara and Sanhedrin and Chelek, where this is talked about, Kol Yisrael, Yishlev, Chelek, all above, most Rishonim say, like, have the Ramchal's picture, that the ultimate eternity is a bonding of the Guf and the Neshama, but it's a purified Guf that's purified by the Neshama. To the degree that the Neshama won the battles, it purifies the Guf. Okay, we'll see, but that doesn't happen right away after Misa, obviously. And the Neshama goes to the King David Lounge. It's waiting. I'm not joking. I mean, goes to the King David Lounge. I was never in the King David Lounge. Believe me, I'm back there with the sardines. But, wait, and then, after Tchias HaMeisim, it's the Ramchal's picture. After Tchias HaMeisim, that's the eternity, when the Guf comes back to the Neshama. That's Ramchal's view, and many Rishonim hold like that. I think most Rishonim.
And aside from the tzaddikim who are not affected, but most bodies decompose. Does that mean they are recreated? You say that.
Well, don't have any other chiasmation. What do you think happens with chiasmation? The body is recreated. But even a monster. Don't you know that that's where the mountains, the loose bone, I think? No, of course the body decomposes. We're going to see, the body decomposes because of all the impurities of the body. Then it's recreated in a more, it is a more spiritual body, as it's here, amazing. It's not a physical body.
In the shape that we want it to be?
Very, very good question. There's nothing to laugh at. The answer is in the shape that you earned.
No,
in the shape that you earned. And that we all are, we're all the same boat. In the shape that we earned. To the degree that the neshama is everything to struggle. We're not talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, who probably purified his neshama. The neshama is totally pure. I'm there's a tug of war between the guf and the neshama, and to the degree that the guf doesn't let the neshama shine, right? So it's like throwing mud on a halogen light, and it's shining pure light, and it's beautiful. Or something reflecting the sunlight is maybe a better mushroom. And, you know, if the goof was able to throw mud on it, and it stuck, and like two-thirds of the light is blocked, two-thirds or one-third or whatever it is, it's up to us. How much of the light is blocked off? So the neshama is muddied and sullied, and it's not going to shine on us at level. And, you know, the Moshe Rabbeinu shine the moment, 100%. We're happy, you know, whatever we do, it will be. And it will in turn purify the neshama, purify the guf, and the guf will somehow be spiritual. That we don't really understand. You know, most malachim also have some sort of gush, some sort of physical reality. It's a very able one, it's a subtle one, it's not gas. Our goof are my behemoths. The Gemara said, man is similar to a behemoth in three ways and to a malach in three ways. And our goof are very gas. And yeah, that's it. This is, so Hashem, but if you have a flaw, I'm saying, I think it's interesting that, I think it's helpful when we struggle with our base natures, and we struggle with Bechira, and we struggle, it's really, I think it's helpful to think of it as a gift from Hashem. This is why the world was created, so that I should struggle. Because nobody's a tzaddik, and nobody doesn't have to struggle. And sometimes the struggle comes from circumstances in life, and the struggle is amuna, and the struggle is to do mitzvahs b'simcha, and the struggle is bitachon. That's many times the struggle. Sometimes the struggle is as simple as I'm hungry and the hechsher is not so great, or you know, it's 5.5 hours, I can eat my ice cream already. You know, very basic stuff. Or getting angry or talking lashon hara. Maybe this is 113 mitzvahs, you know. Well, to us, what is it? What does the Chofetz Chaim have for us? 120? What does he have? The Sefer Mitzvahs Kotzer, the mitzvahs that are relevant nowadays. It's more like 100 and something? I don't know. Anyway, so we have chisrainus. Hashem created shleimus and chisaron, neshama and guf, spirituality and physicality. But yeah, the tibori bria, that's us. Shiyabo efsharos lishneiha and yonim b'shaveh. You see, it gets very complicated. When Adam Arishon was, because he's talking, you know, what's that advertisement for that? Wine, the perfectly balanced, like the kind of wine that they advertise is perfectly balanced. They have the twins from France, you know, like, and the motto is, so Hashem created mankind that is perfectly balanced. Tov and Ra is perfectly balanced. Adam HaRishon, if you're allowed to say the word, messed up. But at first it was perfectly balanced. It would be just as easy to choose Tov as it is to choose Ra. It's perfectly balanced. And Hashem said you have a choice. Choose good. After Adam's Chet, it's an uphill battle to choose to do good. We're battling. It's an uphill battle. We'll see. He'll describe everything very much in detail. But I can tell you it's a... Don't feel bad. It's an uphill battle. It is an uphill battle. And you can thank God the Marishal for that. And before the Marishal was perfectly balanced. That's what he says here. But you still had to choose. The Marishal had to choose. He had to make a choice. The Yudul of Bria Hazos and Tsoyim, the tools, Shaal Yodom, through those tools, Tikna Lahasma, as Ashleimius, to become perfect, to become whole, to become spiritual, the Tadir Mimeno, and to impede and to block the Sachisrayas, the flaws, the Ozikore, and then it will be called, since it's Damso, it became similar to Hashem. The Meshahaya Eshelol Bora, as much as possible. He said it only can ever be as much as possible. First of all, it wouldn't be possible just theologically to be Esholim as Hashem. And second of all, because Hashem Echad. And second of all, if Hashem is enabling us everything we do, so we're always dependent on Him. So we couldn't possibly reach the Shleimus that He has. Because one of his shleimus, if you remember in Perek Aleph, is that he's not dependent on anybody or anything, right? But we always are totally dependent on him, so it couldn't possibly. So he keeps saying as much as possible, but we want to be godlike. And that's why, again, sometimes the people wonder, like it says, you have to emulate Hashem, you should be kind, do chesed, be yashar. And like the Rambam puts it in such a primary, as such a primary mitzvah, it's like after emunah, you say, okay, you know, it's a mitzvah, but it's not just a mitzvah, because it's not just a copycat, it's not a copying machine. It's to be like God, it's to emulate Hashem, to be like Him, because that's going to enable you to bond with Him. More so, the more you are like Him, the more you will bond with Him. That's what Ramchal is saying. The Tiyaruya Lidovik Bo, to bond with Hashem, the Lehono the Tuvo, here he says both words, to have Hanoah, to have pleasure from His goodness. That's all the same. Now in Gimel, the first paragraph, he says a very, very sophisticated idea, so sophisticated that I'm not sure I think I know what he's saying. He's saying, don't think of, I'll say it by heart first, and then we'll learn the words. The words are very, very difficult. Don't think that we live a life down here, and then everything we're talking about is a reward. He says, we're creating the spirituality here. The mitzvahs that we do, they're not just like dry acts, and then we get a reward, and the reward is we bond with Hashem. Everything we do makes us godlike, because the mitzvahs are sparks of His spirituality, of His essence. And the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah are manifestations. We don't see how, we don't understand how, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't, are manifestations of His godliness, of His spirituality, of ruchnius. So we're doing it down here. Not like something that's going to happen in the future. The mitzvahs that we're creating it now. It's not like we're doing good deeds and at the end of the term, at the end of the school year, we're going to get a reward. We're making ourselves spiritual now. The mitzvahs make us spiritual now. A person who does mitzvahs, chesed, a man that learns Torah, he feels that he's becoming a less coarse person. You know, this is something to do. So we feel these things. Now if you learn the Mesillas Yesharim in the Perek Aleph, it says in this world, and we get to the next world, it says it on a much simpler level. Even when you learn the Mesillas Yesharim, it's not so simple. He says that, but you see the echo. If you go to the Mesillas Yesharim, that Perek Aleph, you can see the echoes of Derech Hashem. Shetisak alod nadover, he says himself, Shor Paragala, Tiri, you'll see, Ki Ashlemus Amitni, who rak Hadvetas Bogus Barach, that's what we want to achieve. He rak Zehu Hatov. Omam Lechayiska, Omam Latova Hazos, in order to get to that Tov, to bond with Hashem, Roli Sheyamo Vishona, he doesn't say why in the Sosa Shorim. We are learning Derech Hashem, where he details why we have to work so hard. Here he just says, it's appropriate that you work to achieve it, V'yishtadel V'yagiyo L'knosa, to achieve it, to have it, V'hainu She'yishtadel L'idobik Bo Yisborach now, because he says, B'kod Masim, through actions, Shel Toldosom Zeho Inyan, which create this Dveikus, the Heim Heim HaMitzvahs. They're not just a way to acquire your place at Olam Haba. You're bonding with Hashem now. You may not feel it because there's too much goof around. And sometimes you do feel it. You know, when you feel Yom Kippur, it's that, you know, and you feel uplifted at the end of the day, you hear the shofar. You know, if you could not think about what awaits you at home. But you feel uplifted, that, you know, because the purpose of fasting Yom Kippur is to be a little less goof on Yom Kippur. And when you fast, you have that much less goof. And but the mitzvahs are little lights of spirituality. And when we're acquiring it here and now, we don't feel it, but maybe we don't, maybe we do a little, but it's happening here. That's what he says in this paragraph. It's not the reward, and it's a very sophisticated but beautiful, beautiful idea that the reward is the consequence of who you are. And the mitzvahs make you more spiritual. The mitzvahs connect you to Hashem in this world. Valkein, v'omnom, however, milvad hayos habriya hazos, Shekonsa Hashleimus chose correctly in life. Ruuya, worthy of Lidovek, to have Dveikus, to bond Bibori is Barashimo, Mitzah his Namusalo, as we explained, because the person created their own spirituality, their own toes. But that's going to happen later. But I deserve it, I earned it. No, it's even better. It's even more inherently true. Hinei anidei kenosa hashleimus lo, through the actions that make me more of a shalem person, more of a ruchni person, more of a tov person, which are the mitzvahs, nitzes mezdabekes oleches bo, I'm bonding with Hashem right now. I'm not late, I'm bonding with Hashem now. Because that's what the mitzvahs do. The mitzvahs connect me to Hashem. They're not just a list of rules that I have to follow. This is the bonding taking place now, but I don't feel it. And then, blessed Lovo, it'll burst forth. That'll be the degree of the dveikus, the degree of the mitzvahs that I did. So the mitzvahs now are those sparks of spirituality. They're not just rules. And if you really delve into the mitzvahs, maybe we could understand how they're godlike and they're spiritual. Most of them, I would say, most mitzvahs that are benodim lamokom are really, if you think about the mitzvahs benodim lamokom, they're all connecting to Hashem. Anything, challah, thanking Hashem; mezuzah, you're thinking of Hashem. I think the overwhelming majority, maybe kelayim was like harder to see. I'm not eating basar b'chalav. I'm not eating kelayim. Like, what is, you know, what is that? How does that connect me to Hashem? So okay, there's some way of understanding it. But if you think about the overwhelming majority of mitzvahs, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Tefillin, Mezuzah, Challah, the Midos, which are all the halachta bedrocha, or v'hatalo'echa kamocha, right? They're all Yeah, I never thought about it that way. They're all connecting me to Hashem. Not just I have to follow the rules or I get kicked out of school. Mm-hmm. But this is how, and they are. Shabbos, Tefillin, a man learning Torah, a woman learning Torah too, but she's not mechuyev to. But learning Torah, learning Chochmas Hashem, putting on Tefillin, putting on Mezuzah on the door. All the mitzvahs, the overwhelming majority of mitzvahs is you can see with the Ramchal saying, both in the Seul Sesharim and in Derech Hashem, I'm bonding with Hashem down here. And that makes me more spiritual. And when I make decisions to make that more of my life and to put into the background my physical needs, so I become a more spiritual person, and then when the time comes, I will bond more with Hashem. Okay, it gets more complicated, but really more on a... He didn't get up to us yet. He's still holding by the creation of Adam. We're going to learn what Adam and then Adam was Chote, and what happened and why there's Misa in the world. Because the goof has to decompose. Okay, let's stop here. Okay, so good for them.
More on the garden because